This is a HeadGum Podcast.
If I were you, I would subscribe to the podcast because they give really good advice and they tell jokes sometimes. But if the joke's on you, well, then it gets kind of awkward, but yo, do you?
Pretty sweet.
Very sweet.
It was actually really sweet.
I loved how sweet it was.
It was saccharine.
It was sugar. So sugary. It was agave.
It was bad for me.
Yeah.
It was natural sweetener.
Dehydrating.
Yeah.
That is correct.
It's actually not good for you. Even though it's a natural sweetener, it's just as bad for you. I'd rather it be honey, because honey is actually better for you than
now,
fruit sugar.
Yes, that is correct.
And then that came to us from Gugu
in Gaga.
In Cape Town, South Africa.
Wait, what's her name?
Gugu, G-U-G-U.
Gugu?
Mm-hmm. From South Africa.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't know we had fans in South Africa.
We should go to South Africa.
Weren't we just there?
Oh, no. That was Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the same country.
Is Holland?
Holland and Netherlands are like the same, and South Africa and Australia are the same.
Huh.
It's all just like...
We should buy a map and I'll put a pin in Johannesburg.
Yeah, because that's where we went.
Yeah.
We went to Sydney and Johannesburg.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just, you know, bizarro America speaking English in a funny accent.
Yeah.
So England, Australia, South Africa, these are all normals. And then there's the secondary places, which is like normals speaking a slightly different language. So that's España, Portugal... Mexico,
yeah,
Costa Rica.
Keep on going, because I feel like you're going to say something really racist.
And then the third layer.
America normals.
The third layer is weirdos speaking a different language. All of a sudden, that's a fucking different planet. We're talking Iceland. We are talking Sweden. We're talking Nigeria. We're talking Cameroon. We're talking China, Russia. And then lastly, we're talking bottom of the barrel, fourth world shit.
I feel complicit in this bit because I was doing it up top, but I do not condone it.
The moon, which is a different planet than ours. Thank you.
Is the moon a different planet?
Actually, no, you're right. It's not a planet.
It's a moon.
Yeah.
Do you know, I actually learned some interesting facts this weekend. By the way, I'll try to remember. Do you know how many moons Jupiter has?
I'll say 9.
You'll say 9?
Yeah.
What would you do if I told you you were off by... Why don't you try to guess how much you're off by now?
Okay. 9.
So you think Jupiter either has 0 or 18 moons.
That's right.
Okay.
Now, try to fucking wrap your dick around.
I'm going to tell you one thing. You are way off.
Okay.
Do you care to venture a third... previously thought to be outlandish guess?
111.
You've finally gone too high.
You nailed it.
The answer is 67.
That's a lot of moons.
It's a lot of moons. Also, do you know how many astronauts have been on our moon? This game was a lot of fun to play with a bunch of drunk people at a bar.
How many astronauts? Wait, were you just looking at moonfacts.com?
I don't know how I started. No, it was like, I think we started talking about... Oh, it started off because Dave, we were like talking to these people who, our friend Nick told the story of how Dave didn't think the moon was real.
Right, of course.
And then we started talking about the moon, and then I think Jeff, Dave's brother, said that only the Apollo 11, I think it was Apollo 11, but only Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin had been on the moon. He thought there was only one mission to the moon and nobody else had gone.
Got it.
And then I was like, well, I found out how many people had walked on the moon.
Walked on the moon.
Yeah.
Isn't it sad that there was a third person that didn't walk on the moon?
Yeah. Nobody. Do you know his name?
No.
Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and...
Roger Starr.
Blumpus Frunk.
It's like driving to New York and then everyone's like, all right, let's finally get out of the car, and you're like, I'm gonna wait in here and play Game Boy. Tell me when we're driving back to LA.
Hey Neil, I have a good idea for a quote.
So how many people have been on the moon?
You don't want to guess?
Oh.
Everybody out there can guess along.
Only Americans?
I don't think anybody else from any country has been on the moon. But
really?
Actually, I don't know that.
Interesting. Yeah, has there ever been a
Russian
cosmonaut?
Went to space, but did they walk on the moon? Maybe they have. That's really interesting.
Yeah, that's why we put our flag in there.
Mm-hmm.
Take it the fuck out if you want.
We get the moon. We claimed it for the U.S. of A.
USA. 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 28.
28's wrong, but it's pretty close.
Oh.
18.
Oh.
I think it was 18. Now I don't remember if it was 18 or 20. Ah, shit. I gotta look.
You're listening to some vague moon facts on If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet hosted by us. I'm Amir.
Jupiter's got 11 moons. I was way off.
Here's another fact I sort of know. Two females on the moon. Seems about right. I don't know. Maybe there has been a dog. Maybe there hasn't. Again,
dog was in space.
These are all guesses. These are all absolute guesses.
All right. How many people have walked on the moon? 12.
Mm.
All right.
Any ladies?
Let's see. 12 of these astronauts walked on the moon's surface, and 6 of those drove lunar roving vehicles on the moon.
Oh, that's the best.
While
I would want
three
to drive.
Astronauts flew to the moon twice, none of them landed on the moon more than once. The 9 Apollo missions to the moon occurred between December 1968 and December 1972.
Wait, everybody on the moon has been on the moon in those 4 years? Nobody's been on the moon since? Is that
since
what it's
1972, a... I guess so.
Nobody's walked on the moon since 1972?
Interesting.
What the hell is that? How come all these fucking guys from the 60s and 70s get to chill on the moon and all these modern day astronauts are just, what, floating around in space near the moon? They don't get to walk on the shit? What are you looking up now?
The last person to walk on the moon.
And did he moonwalk?
Apollo 17.
When was that?
I can't really find it right now, but it looks like, I mean...
Was it December 1972?
Probably, right? Because that's... This guy does not look young. So, he might be dead.
So walking on the moon is more rare than being president.
Yeah.
Like, what else has only 12 people done? There's less unassisted triple... Or no, there's more unassisted triple plays.
Wow.
It's more likely to do that than to walk on the moon.
That's why I guess it's pretty impressive that you and I are going to outer space.
That's right.
Now's the time we make the announcement.
We're doing a live show on the north crag of the moon. You think like the moon has like subsections that have names like that?
Yeah.
Like kind of Everest has like names like, oh, we're landing on top sphere A.
Right. I bet they're like, definitely.
Magna Crago.
I wonder. I mean, yeah, I think there are like craters named on the moon for sure.
Yeah. But do other countries have to agree to those names or is it just like we'll call them those names?
Probably not. Right. Unless, I don't know how it works.
Well, if they don't like the names, they can touch the fucking moon themselves.
Yeah, we get to name it.
Because
then.
We went there for us to have it, to have
to own
for
it
us.
To be there.
And if you don't want for us to be there, then you get there before us. And
Neil Armstrong is the king of the moon.
Because he was the one that was there the first time.
Neil owns the moon.
And we are just all citizens upon of the other 10 people that have been on the moon. So it goes Neil Armstrong.
I'd actually like to join the moon's army.
What do you mean?
I mean, every single country and continent has an army.
Sure.
Why doesn't
I don't
the
even
moon
think that's
have
true.
One?
I think I said sure prematurely because I don't think every country and continent has an army.
You don't think Antarctica has an army?
You should join Antarctica's army.
No, I fight for the moon.
I think you first have to join the Antarctic army.
Does that seem like some kind of dystopian future movie? Like, I'm in the moon army, I'm in the Antarctic army.
Yeah, the Antarctic army.
The Antarctic army.
That's awesome, dude.
Thank you.
That's so cool, dude.
That's not.
For you to say that, dude,
yeah,
is so tight,
me,
dude.
Yeah, man.
That you think so big, dude.
Yeah. I think...
Like, you think globally and glocally.
I do think glocally.
You
sometimes.
Also think interstellarly. So, like, you're not bound by atmospheric pressure, gravity,
like,
or anything like that.
People are so consumed with their fucking apartment. Then people think, oh, I think big. I'm thinking about the whole block. And then guess what? Yeah. I think globally? No, I think galactically. I think intergalactically. I'm talking wormholes, black holes.
Sustainable. Like, are you worried about, like, sustainable meat?
No, dude, because I honestly...
Because that's all Earth shit.
That's Earth shit.
So, like, what did you have for breakfast today?
I had pink hot dog slurry.
Yeah.
I butt-chugged a Frankfurt. Frankfurters, the ballpark Frank. Oh.
And but why is that? Why did you butt chug a Frankfurter? Because in your mind, you're already living in Mars, and that's how people do shit up there.
That's why I fight for the Martian army.
When does the Matt Damon movie come out where he's stuck on the moon?
Oh, I don't know, but you saw he got our boy got into a little bit of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Can we just talk about this for a second?
You think Matt he interrupted and he mansplained?
He mansplained and he whitesplained.
Yeah.
Any hydroplane.
I think, Matt, you got some splaining to do.
Very good. Very good. Should we start revering a different hero? Because it appears as though Matt is actually flawed more so than we thought.
We all make I think Matt Damon making this mistake proves that nobody's perfect. Damon fucked up.
Pitt
would never do this shit.
No, Brad, are you kidding me, dude? He's so Bradley. Fucking. He's sensitive.
No, Brad has like he has like.
But
a
he's
bunch
also
of,
cut.
Yeah, I don't know.
He Brad has Pitt's hot like, hair and a hot eyes.
No, he's not as perfect as Matt Damon used to be.
Who do you think's a better actor?
Matt Damon's a better actor.
Mm. Is he?
I think so.
Does Damon have range, or is he always just like this cool white smart dude?
Yeah, but that's what that's kind of what Brad Pitt is too.
But Brad Pitt does cool white smart dude, but he also does like a rugged cool army dude.
Yeah. Oh, I guess he did Snatch. He was pretty a unique character in that.
Snatch, yeah.
That was cool.
And he also sometimes plays like sad guy.
When does he play sad guy?
Like in there's a movie where he's like he's what Babel. He plays a sad guy.
I never saw Babel.
Okay. Sorry about that.
It's just Matt Damon really destroyed my world this week.
Everything is different. Well, let's try to answer some questions, regardless of the world as according to Matt Damon. We get emails from people in sticky situations. They're seeking our advice because they can't reach Damon. They can only reach us. So these are real emails from real people. If you have your own, send them over to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Again, thank you to Gugu from Cape Town, South Africa.
To you,
beautiful
say thank
song.
You. Yep.
Bew Bew from Gugu. And this question is actually written and recorded. It wasn't actually recorded. It was just written by a high schooler. Can I get a name for this high schooler?
A high schooler. Let's call him.
What about the name of your high school?
Okay. Hamden Hall.
That could be a cool name, actually.
Hi, my name is Hamden.
Hamden Hall. That's actually a really chill name.
Really?
I really think, because the HH is kind of strong.
Yeah. Should I?
You know, don't worry about it. I see where you're going, and I don't want you to do anything like that.
Yeah.
Don't change your name is what I'm
saying. I wasn't going to.
All right.
I was.
So, do you...
Call me Hamden.
Oh, shit.
All right.
Hamden writes... Here's the situation. I'm a senior in high school. For most of my time in high school, I have struck out with the ladies. The last time I hooked up with someone was more than 2 years ago. However, I finally decided to start taking things more seriously, and I've got 5 or 6 irons in the fire right now. Things genuinely do seem to be going well. I'm thinking that I'll probably be successful with one of these chicks in the next month or so. However... Since I'm just coming off a long drought, I am nervous about hooking up with some of these people and making a fool out of myself by being clumsy slash out of practice. How can I get warmed up enough not to be laughed at like a dumb clown? I love the show. You guys are cools of yourself. Peace and peaches. Love, Hamden Hall.
All right, HH.
He's looking for a fuck practice dummy dollar human.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't want to play pickup basketball without, you know, shooting some hoops beforehand,
especially when he's been on a two-year
long drought.
Yeah,
a Miller genuine drought.
That's for real. That's a 2 years is a long time.
That's a drought.
That's the muscles will atrophy in that time.
I'm surprised that he was able to hook. Like, usually if it's a 2-year long drought in high school, I would imagine you just go. It's like an 18-year long drought.
Yeah, like what?
It's rare to hook up in freshman year.
I was a pimp when I was 14. I was the coolest, hottest, most ass-getting guy.
Oh, maybe it was like cool in middle school, not in high school.
It's possible.
But didn't that happen to you?
I was cool in. Yeah, yes.
Like, didn't you hook up as a 14-year-old and then not again for a little bit while?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Freshman, but then I was like a little wave. Freshman and sophomore year were pretty hard. Didn't hook up. I mean, a little bit, but not very much. And
it still kills you to this day.
It's the braces, dude. Yeah. You have braces and you just don't feel like. I don't think I kissed anybody the entire time I had braces, probably.
But now braces are like, I feel like they're made to be a little bit more discreet, a little cooler. It's not as big of a deal.
Yeah, you could get Invisalign.
I had a fucking expander. I had a chin cup. I had braces. I had a nose guard.
Right.
Because I would be bumping into shit.
Your teeth were growing through your cheeks, right?
My teeth. Yes. My teeth are coming out
like
of my
narwhal.
Right cheek. Yeah. And I had one horn that penetrated from the roof of my mouth upward into my brain.
You
and
were a
my
triceratops
scalp.
Because for you had two
years,
devil horns and then you had a growth on your nose.
I was a rhinoceros for. Mm-hmm. 9th, 10th, and half of 11th grade.
Right,
and then
right.
I had this.
You had a thick.
I had a thick
skin.
An enamel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A cone. It was almost like a small traffic cone that started at the base of my brain and
there
went
was,
up.
There was a bidding for a license to kill you.
Because, I was rare game. And a dentist actually tried to murder me a la Cecil the Lion.
Only you weren't beloved, so no one stood up for you.
Everyone cheered when they thought I was dead, but I was just playing.
They positively reviewed that dentist's Yelp page.
He was known as the dentist of the year in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So what does this guy do? How does one practice? Can one practice for sex without... Or can one practice for hooking up?
Six irons in the fire, that does sound like practice. You have to dive back in.
Well, irons in the fire just means texts, flirtations, things of that nature.
But I mean, like, I think that's what it is. You're just getting back in the game. You're flirting with girls. Hopefully that converts to you seeing somebody. Hopefully that converts to you kissing somebody. You know, like, that's the practice. There's not... What are you saying? Like, can this guy just go in... Use a fleshlight and Siri.
Is that the equivalent of practice? Just asking Siri to fucking. Siri, talk dirty to me.
The carpet needs vacuuming.
Oh, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, she's pretty good. Hey, Siri.
I'm getting pretty hard.
Wait.
What are you going to.
Siri. Are you attracted to me?
I'm sorry, Jake. I'm afraid I can't answer that.
Because you're afraid of how deep your feelings will go?
Who, me?
Forget it.
You're obviously not taking this seriously. Is there practice? I'm afraid the only practice is doing it.
I genuinely want to try to flirt with Siri more.
I really think I can get her on my team.
I think I could get her off.
There's a reason people aren't good at this kind of stuff until they do it. Is because at first, like, there's no substitution for the real thing.
Right.
You can masturbate.
Yeah, but masturbating is just so different that I feel like even when I've jerked off before a date, it's still, you know, someone touching you and talking to you and being a real person.
What would you say the metaphor is? Masturbation is to sex as, what's another parallel? You can think for a little bit. I'll either stall or cut out time depending on how long it takes you to think.
Okay. Well, let's pretend like you stall for a second and I'll try to think. Yeah. But if I take a really long time, then we'll just
cut it. Snip.
All right. Masturbation is to sex as...
You're already thinking about food, right?
Food was the exact first thing.
Sex is like a really nice steak dinner.
Okay. So
masturbation is to sex
Oh, like dinner is to...
Well, dinner is the masturbation.
Oh, okay. So
what's like, if the sex is a really nice, the best meal you've ever had?
Well, I feel like sex is the meal. So say sex is dinner. Yeah. What do you do? You're preparing for dinner.
Yeah.
Like,
is it like snacking or is it even less than that?
I don't think
it's
like
snacking. Is it a Ritz cracker?
Because snacking would be like hooking up. Uh-huh. It's not. It's like not food. It's this.
It's completely not even food. So like masturbation is to sex as like video games is to a nice dinner.
Or because it's so unrelated. vomiting
the opposite of dinner. Food it's coming out
like
of you.
Total. Yeah, it's like counterproductive to dinner, and but it like still feels cathartic in a way.
Some people puke before dinner to make room or to prepare your esophagus.
Exactly.
So like I'll often vomit before a dinner. It's called reverse bulimia.
How about shitting is to dinner?
Oh.
Because shitting like masturbating feels really good. It sort of clears the system for
that might be the one. So masturbation is to sex as shitting is to eating dinner. Does that make sense?
Put that on a t-shirt, Wolf.
Global will actually come up with various t-shirts that don't necessarily come from something you said, but still attribute it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But since he's not technically selling it, it's not illegal.
It's so fucked.
I like that metaphor. I also, one of the things that I like about this question is that it vacillates between the most confident guy in the world and the least confident guy. So he's like, I'm probably going to hook up in a month. That being said, I haven't hooked up with anyone, and I'm afraid of being laughed at like a dumb clown.
Yeah.
Where does he get his confidence from?
I finally
from?
Started to take things seriously. I've got six irons in the fire. Like he's also just saying, the only reason I haven't hooked up in 2 years is because I didn't have my head in the game.
Isn't it weird to think that high schoolers might be on Tinder? Is that a thing?
Yeah, I guess you could be.
18. Wait.
Oh, yeah, 18. You're allowed to be on it when you're 18?
Yeah.
Well, you could also definitely just lie about it, right? It doesn't take...
I think it's attached to your Facebook, but I don't know if you can lie on that and then just reverse lie.
Yeah, I think you can.
That's awesome, dude. Imagine that.
So cool.
I'd get hooked up with so much at my high school if I had Tinder as an 18-year-old. Imagine me most 18-year-old boys on Tinder. Who would you find?
Yeah, just a lot, I don't know, lots and lots and lots of other 18-year-old boys
catfishing each other. So how can I get warmed up enough not to be laughed at? It seems as though you can try.
Yeah, you just can't. I think you just have to be like, of these six people that these six irons that
are in the fire,
just hang out with one of them, you know.
Yeah,
keep on trying,
and then
and hope it.
Let her know that she's practice. What? Yeah. After you're done, say, "Well, that wasn't too bad, but you know, practice makes perfect."
All those other men were practice.
What's that?
They were practice.
Is that a song
for me? For me.
What is that?
For me, Drake.
What he's saying? Other guys are all the other guys you've been with are practice for
right.
me. Yeah. Shouldn't you be the best at sex at your current age? Because you've had the most experience now.
Yeah, but I think, well, I guess it probably at a certain point starts to dip, right? Because I think I care about sex less now than when I was like 23, 24.
Oh, so your brain space is less occupied with sex.
Well, actually, I don't know. I think I'm probably a better lover than I was then. I think I could like, I'm definitely more thoughtful now.
If that helps.
I care more about the other person enjoying it than I did when I was younger.
Right.
When you're younger, you're just like, oh, I'm fucking and it feels so good.
It is amazing.
Yeah. And now I think I view it as more of a dual person experience.
Right. Well, you want to be good. Maybe because it's easier to tell people if you're not.
It's easier to
tell. There's like apps and stuff that was like, how good was he? So it's like, you got to focus on the other person, which is, it might be a bad way to get to it, but it's kind of a good way to think about it. It's like if you only right. think about the other person because you want to like make sure that they're having the best time of their lives, that might be the best way to go at it.
Yeah, you should always be wanting the other person to feel great. I guess if you get to that mentality because you're worried about your Lulu score, then you're an asshole, but also doing a good thing. Yeah. Is that like the ends justify the means?
Yeah, what's that metaphor? So having sex with someone when you're only thinking about them is like
dinner.
Eating healthy because you're allergic to oil.
Or eating healthy because you want to fuck more people.
Yeah. It's a bad reasoning, but it's also a good idea.
A net positive.
It's also a good tip for guys because it'll feel good for you regardless. So you might as well not even think about it feeling good for you. Mm. Try to do the opposite. Make it feel as bad for you as humanly possible. That way you're just focused on the other person. You'll last as long as possible or as long as you're capable of doing it. And then all your focus and energy and attention are on the other person.
Truth. Do you ever accidentally come when you were thinking about your grandfather?
Oh, like I'm going to think about something unsexy and it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, not your grandfather, but mine.
Definitely not.
Actually, maybe yours. Yeah, a couple times.
And I thought about yours.
But I was just masturbating. It wasn't anybody else.
Right.
Do you think about someone else while you're masturbating?
You cybered with my grandfather. You did a Skype call.
Oh, dear God, man.
Do I ever think about someone
you're
else?
You're masturbating, and then you're like, oh, think unsexy thoughts, because I want it to last longer for me. Oh. So you're like lying to yourself retroactively.
No, because you could just stop masturbating. Like,
oh, like move your hand.
Yeah.
Do you ever do that? Like, this is going too fast for me, even. I have to like slow my own roll.
Yeah.
Even though it feels good, you want it to last long.
Yeah, I'll tease myself. What, you never heard of edging, dog?
So what is the edging? That's like getting yourself to the precipice and then going down. It's sort of practice for lasting longer.
I don't know if it's practice. It just feels good to jerk off for a longer time.
But doesn't the orgasm feel the best?
Yeah, but it feels especially good if you edge it, if you tease yourself all the way
to
get the
fucking as close as possible. Like a teetering over the edge and then go down. Kind of like squeezing a bottle of a half-filled bottle of
water.
We're
both jerking up right now.
All right. Edge it, dude. Have you ever edged so hard you just Hershey squirted a bit? You know when you like kick a Capri Sun and a single pump comes out?
I thought you meant like you shit a little bit. I need to come so bad that something's getting out of my body one direction or the other.
You edge so hard you start crying and puking. You shit. Easy. Everything
all
is such
the liquid
a delicate
in my body needs to be expelled.
Blood out of every single fucking pore.
I explode.
Mercy. All right, let's take a break. And we'll be right back with a couple more questions. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's right. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like,
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness.
It's it's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Anti-movement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't. But so it's fitness, more of a fitnessnah.com. Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Holler.
Hey, so some bad news.
Oh, shit.
I yelled holler a little bit prematurely.
Why'd you make me holler? What is it?
Yeah.
I'll always remember feeling like a fool as I got this bad news.
Because I hollered. Thursday, October 1st, we're going to be in Toronto for a live podcast.
Boom.
Our first ever podcast in Toronto. Our most popular Facebook city. I mean, we have more Facebook fans in Toronto than any other city. So we're expecting an insane show.
Yeah, we gonna party.
Like it's my birthday.
And it will be.
Actually, yeah, October 1st.
Pretty cool.
I legally changed it. I legally changed my age.
I've changed my birthday 6 times this year.
You can change it up, but you can't go down. So I'm 41 now.
Unfortunately.
And then we have it's called Jake and Amir and Friends on Friday, October 2nd.
Now, I don't know if we spent a lot of time talking about Jake and Amir and Friends.
Right. That's going to be us doing more sketchy stand-up stuff. I'm seeing other hilariously talented stand-up acts who are going to be part of the Toronto Just for Laughs Comedy Festival.
So if you want to see us, but you were too late and the podcast sold out, you can still come and see us on Friday night, and we'll get to hang out. We'll get to tell some jokes. We'll get to do some shit, and I'll be blowing cocaine in the back in the green room. I will be.
Cocaine is the PA that's helping us out.
Yes.
she is quite a lovely lady.
And she does have a penis, which is why I will be blowing her.
So I think there are tickets, either individual tickets or festival passes, still available on the Toronto Just for Laughs comedy website. It'll be a fun festival. Come out.
Come on.
There's funny people there. Pete Holmes will be there. TJ Miller will be there. Other funny people will be there. Just like Montreal, but I would say a little bit colder. It's later on in the season. And would you say Toronto is west or east of Montreal?
I would
say. If you had to guess.
Huh.
I would guess.
I think it's east.
East. Yeah, I'll say east. I don't even want to check because that's how sure we aren't.
Yeah.
So come. I mean, if you live in Toronto, you already know exactly where it is.
Right.
We also have a show at the Irvine Improv on October 14th, but you know, you guys probably already knew about that too. What else? Do we have anything else to talk about before we fucking get into it?
Not too much. Have we talked about on this show how Keegan-Michael Key was on Black Men Can't Jump?
I don't think so.
Well, that was a pretty exciting
thing. We haven't actually talked about HeadGum in a while.
Well, let's just really quick mention, because I listened to this episode, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Toronto is west of Montreal. Is it?
And I lost all credibility as I'm plugging something else.
Very far. This is a, wow, I was just, it seemed so correct. And it's so, this, remember this moment next time you're sure of something. I was so sure that Toronto is where Montreal is on this map and Montreal is where Toronto is. Like, Montreal is above, like, Vermont, eastern New York, and then Toronto is basically west of New York.
Hmm?
The distance of New York is what separates those two cities, Toronto being further west.
Wow.
You don't think of it like that. You think of Toronto as the easternmost.
You really do.
Yeah, and when I say you, I mean specifically you and I.
Yes.
Sorry, Keegan-Michael Key from anyway. Key and Peele was on Black Man Can't Jump, a podcast on the HeadGum Network, three funny dudes discussing the roles of African-American in cinema. And that class was sort of like a fucking graduate school lecture.
Yeah, I mean, that was it was like poignant, funny. It was, I don't know. It was touching and hilarious.
Yeah.
And also, like, it kind of makes you a little angry sometimes, too. You know, they're like,
This podcast is candy. And if you're looking for a real meal, we highly suggest Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Right.
And then if you want even more dessert, Twinnovation is also on Friday, which is our boys just riffing about dumbass ideas they have.
Yeah, it's funny that those two...
our Friday shows could not be more different.
Right. One, Keegan-Michael Key is talking about the role of the black man in Hollywood. Sidney Poitier winning the first... Oscar as an African-American
dealing with real racism while this shoot is happening,
right?
And then you click over to Twinnovation and I don't know, Dave is talking about installing troughs at a bathroom so you don't have to go to the bathroom.
I think his thing on that Friday, what was his, it was the belly butt off.
Yeah.
A plug for your belly button.
So there's that too. It's something for everybody, and hopefully it delights both of your senses, because you do need to learn a little bit, but you also want to have a little bit of fun. You know, we're up to 16 podcasts on the HeadGum Network.
It's really on point.
Latest one being the fantasy football one that I'm currently in, 1-0, not a huge deal. I did have a pretty bad week. Luckily, I was playing the worst player in the league, so I won.
Who's the worst?
That's the beauty of fantasy football. As long as you get lucky, you can still win.
Who did you beat?
I beat Adam Lustig, Adam's championship team. But two of my players got injured in the middle of their games, which wasn't good.
Yeah, it's not good at all.
All right, let's get back to answering some real questions. I mean, otherwise, how are we supposed to help people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, this one is written by a lady. Maybe we should give her my high school's name.
That's a nice idea. Milken?
Yeah, Milken Community High School writes, I have a friend whose company I enjoy very much. About 6 months ago, I met her boyfriend and realized not long after that, I was starting to crush on him a little bit. I feel horrible, but I can't help it. I know the smart thing to do is just suppress those feelings, but it's difficult. And I started to feel extremely guilty. I really love my friend and I would never want to hurt her. And the two of them make a really dope couple. I mean, they are really happy. Then I started thinking about them as a couple, and, well, I'll just cut to the chase here. Before I knew it, I realized that I really like my friend, too, and I think I want to know them a little bit better, biblically speaking. That's right, fellas, a menage a trois. And I am talking about P in vagee, and then adding a supplementary secondary vagee. This thought has consumed me, and every time we are together, I have the urge to act on it, mostly because part of me genuinely thinks they might be into it. Anyway, I know this is a crazy idea, and I swear I'm not normally so bold or hedonistic. The last thing I want to do is ruin their relationship or my friendship with either of them. I know these kinds of relationships don't usually work without open consent and communication. At the same time, there are worse ways to spend a Saturday night, am I right? We all three have chemistry together, and it could be fun. They have joked around about polygamy before, so I don't know. Maybe it's not so crazy. I don't think I would be obsessing over it very much if I thought it was out of the realm of possibilities. So guys, how do I make this happen? Or should I just give up on my hopes and dreams and stick with normal, boring sex? Thanks for the advice. Love, Milken.
Toda Milken.
It's funny because if this was a guy writing it about a guy and a girl, he would be delusional, crazy. We would laugh at him. It's like, yeah, you want to fuck another guy and a girl, your friend? You want to fuck this couple? No, they don't want to have sex with you, dude. But it is a girl thinking it. So, you know, at the very least, the guy would be down. Right.
For sure, one of the people in the relationship would be pumped about it.
God, it's so interesting. You hear about couples looking for a third, but you rarely hear about, like, one girl being like, I'd be down to fuck this couple. How do I talk to them about
it? Yeah, I wonder if there's, like, some lovely world where this couple is talking about, like, how they wish they could talk to her. Like,
oh, yeah.
You can't. How do you?
How can you? I think, well, you got to start with one of them. And I don't know if it's better to talk to the guy and convince the girl or talk to the girl and convince the guy. Because either one, it's you got to want to convince the girl. I feel like that's the hard one. Is it harder to do that if you've already talked to the guy, or will she feel like she was stabbed in the back?
Yeah.
Or would it be better to talk to the girl one-on-one, convince her, and then it's like, oh, let's convince this guy, but the guy,
you don't need
down.
To convince. If you convince the girl, you can just surprise the guy.
It'll happen. It'd be funny if she convinces the guy and they surprise the girl. We're each other.
For your birthday this year, we got you a menage.
It will be a trois. It will be a poivre. It will be a la mode.
Menage a poivre.
Just liquid peppercorn sauce.
Peppercorn menage a trois.
God, so salty and delicious.
It's your birthday. You deserve a menage.
What is that, another Drake?
I think it's Kanye.
What do you think?
Think if it seems like if they the way to do it is always through like joking a little bit.
Yeah
So if you're hanging out like drinking a little bit,
yeah,
you let the joking come back in. Uh-huh. And then you're like, and then just say you're down or whatever, you know.
Right.
Then you just have to like make that a joke.
You know, you do. You have, when you joke, you have to say it while you're like standing up and walking away. So like they're all having dinner together at the table, drinking wine, and then it's like joke, 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 and then this girl will stand up and take a plate and walk away, and she's like, "All I know is that I'd be down." You're walking away. They're like, "Oh, what's going on?" Like she's walking away with a plate. You need to walk away with a plate or a cup, otherwise, it's just too in your face. So you take a plate, you take a cup, you start walking away. You say, "I don't know, I'd fuck you guys."
And then you have the plate. What is it?
Yeah, you have a plate or a cup, and then you put it in the sink, and then that diffuses the awkward silence because she's just hearing like,
right.
And they can have this. They'll have a look. They'll share a moment, whether it's implicit or explicit, whether
or complicit.
It's gonna be implicit. It's gonna be illicit.
Mm-hmm.
And you better hope to God he's not livid. When he's thinking about the vivid, just with bright details, the idea of fucking his girlfriend and his girlfriend's friend.
Right, which, I'm fucking thinking about it.
Of course, you are edging right now.
I'm always edging.
I thought this question was going to go a different way, which is having a crush on your friend's a significant other. Which it is sort of still an issue.
Right.
I always find it interesting when if you meet a friend's significant other, even if it's someone you'd be interested in, or maybe this is just for me, it just feels so off limits that I like can never like find myself to be romantically interested. It's almost like having a hot sibling. My brain won't allow myself to go there.
I think that I've been in both situations. It's easier when you're younger because I think your circles are smaller and you know less people. So, like, when someone new comes around, it's like, oh, shit, how did my friend meet a girl? Like, I want a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like, this girl's perfect. And now when my friends bring girlfriends around, I'm like, I know how to meet people. I don't need them to introduce me to people.
But what if it's a specifically attractive person, I'm never just like, oh, my God. Like, as if she was somebody I met randomly.
Yeah. Nobody's ever been... Well... That's not true. I've been like attracted to my friend's girlfriends, but never to a point where it was like
you have
dangerous.
A crush.
Yeah.
It's almost like your mind won't allow yourself to go fully into it.
Right, right, right.
But this girl, it's too late for her. So how does she pull off this epic ordeal. First of all, I think she has an advantage because she is a lady.
Right.
It's so, not a guy asking another guy and a girl.
You got to enter with the joke. It can't be serious. And then I think once you've like said the joke or embraced their version of the joke, I think if they really want it, they'll like harp on the joke.
Mm.
And then you like you say something like, wow, you guys like keep on joking about it. I think you really want to do it.
Yeah.
Like, and then let them just feed them. Feed the fan this fire.
A little spark at first just to get it going. Mm-hmm. And then if it dies out instantly, then so it goes. And it might in front of you. They might have a discussion later about it. So don't think that it'll all happen at that moment. I do think it should be discussed and a little tipsy. It's hard to get into that kind of shit when you're bone sober at like a Chipotle at 2 p.m.
Right.
I'm imagining like a dinner at home, home-cooked meal.
I think you got to stop imagining the dinner. I really it's think not it's sexy.
But, like, it's, but there has to be wine involved.
A pot roast. Yeah. Like, she just has broccoli in her teeth. And she's like, I know, I'd be down.
I think
she's
if like, you're, you need you're to like, be full and drunk.
Breath smells like meat. It's... That's not hot.
In my brain, it has to come after a meal, during a dessert. Everyone's sort of drunk off wine.
Everybody's belts are undone.
Yeah, you're feeling like medieval satiated. Times. Yeah, you have a mead. You're full of pork fat.
I think you have a light dinner at home on your own, and you come over for a game night. You bring wine. You bring
drinking
mixer.
Game.
Yeah, you get it's just alcohol. Maybe like. Nobody, I don't think anybody wants to be full and then have a threesome.
Well, it's not going to happen that night. I was just, this is when the inception would happen.
I see.
And it shouldn't happen, because game night is like more people. I think it needs to be more of an intimate setting.
Right.
So it's weird to have just drinks.
Oh, what if you have, you should get a date and be like, let's do a double date game night. Oh. And then they come over and you're like, I'm sorry, my date bailed.
Let's
and then you just like play some
brisket.
Mood music.
Yeah, and let's have thick mashed potatoes and I made gravy.
Stop with the enormous.
I think I'm just
dinner.
Hungry is all, and I think it needs to be like you said, a stew, something in a crock
potatoes
pot.
All gratin for everyone.
Who wants some wet beef Wellington? It needs to be a wet meat. Otherwise, how can he start thinking about boning two girls
a
at the
beef
same time?
Stew and a beet pot pie.
Just it needs to be so dark, borderline black, an ale pie, really. But yeah, I think we're both on the same page. It needs to be a little drunky. It needs to be a little tipsy. You need to start a joke about
it.
It
needs
you
to need be a to, goof to a real deal.
Yeah, you joke about it, unless you go and do it. Extra, extra, say the news. Yeah. You know that part?
It's getting hot in here.
You know what that song's about?
No, is it?
It's like when it's really hot, he wants a girl to take her clothes,
take her clothes off.
That's why he goes... So then, take off all your clothes.
Right. And I think it's actually working because the temperature's hot. Because the girl, if you remember the refrain, it goes, I am getting so hot,
so that's her,
I want to take my clothes off.
So that means she's getting naked for him.
Whoa.
Yeah. So like the whole song, which I don't even know what I thought it was about before this,
is
actually
clearly,
about getting a girl to take her clothes
it's
off.
It's clearly a metaphor for
having sex.
For someplace being warm and then wanting to
have
be
sex.
Nuded.
To nude somebody. Of themselves, to nude them of their clothing. And then he says,
there's a Jake and Amir where I pants you and you go, you've
nuded
me.
You've nuded me. It was, I know which one it is. It was the Amanda Bynes one. You say all fairs and shove and floor. And you push, you pants me and shove me to the floor. I said, you've nuded me. And then you said, I just got an email back from Taylor Damon. That means she's with Matt Damon. Oh, that was the origin of the Matt Damon.
Wow. Our videos were good, man. Man, we were on top of the world.
I know, but we're doing different shit now. It's fine. We're busy in a different way. I think it's nice to... All good things must come to an end. You have to evolve comedically, professionally.
What did we do, Blumenfeld?
I mean, we have this podcast. We hopefully have a TV show soon.
What the fuck did we do, man? We had it all.
I know, and I think we gave it all, and I think it's all right that it ended after 8 years. If anything, we lasted a little bit too long.
I'm to go back.
No. I think that's a desperate, weak attempt to crawl back to...
Crystals or a time machine or something. I think.
Oh, you
want to
go back in time.
Yeah.
You don't want to start making videos now.
No way. I ran out of ideas in 2011.
Didn't you hear the shove and floor line? That wasn't inspired. All right, there we go. There we have it. That's our advice.
It's our time.
Thank you for writing in. If you have your own questions, your own theme song submissions, everything, Facebook thumbnail submissions, every time we post our podcast to Facebook, we use an original artwork made by our talented fans. Everything goes to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. The opening theme song, once again, was from Gugu in South Africa. This closing one is by Lil Dirty Boy and Young Drucifer. So that's... at the very least, they're creative sounding names, I think.
Lil Dirty Boy and Young Drucifer?
Yeah, Young Drucifer. Oh,
that's fucking dope.
Yeah, so enjoy that. Once again, more podcasts every day at headgum.com, including ours and all of our friends and family. Check those out if you still have more commutes to fill up your week. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Goodbye.
Up to the club like skirt. Like skirt. Matt Damon never getting sauce on his fucking shirt. That's for sure. I'm on another level right next to Matt Damon.
Pull up to the club like skirt. Matt Damon never gets sauce on his fucking shirt. That's for sure. You heard the word. Matt Damon's so fucking absurd.
Matt Damon be the illest, but for fuck you, lest you fear this. Hit the streets with us and guarantee you'll see some real shit. Pull up to the club like skirt. No sauce on his shirt.
Oh, goddamn. Whoa. Matt Damon.
You alright, man?
No.
Oh, shit. Oh, Matt? Matt Damon? Matt!
Yeah.
Matt,
yeah.
Matt.
Yeah, Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. Matt Damon. Oh.
Damon rubbing up on your woman's chest. Balling at a raven's nest. Damon oil is the best. Damon liquor cracked clear. Man, that's so much regret. He thinks it tastes so delicious.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.